Welcome to the Mornings with Sue and Andy podcast for Wednesday, April 24th. Does high-density housing in Calgary correlate to an increase in criminal activity in our communities? We get insight from Calgary Police Chief Mark Neufeld as the conversation surrounding rezoning continues to be a hot topic in the city.
Next, widely regarded as one of the greatest professional athletes of all time, we have the pleasure of catching up with a man who's coming to Calgary April 30th. Olympic gold medal sprinter Donovan Bailey joins us to share details on his upcoming visit to our city and the release of his brand new memoir, Undisputed, A Champion's Life.
And finally, summer camps. We pretend they're for the kids, but really, us parents are just looking for a break from the kids during the summer. Have you found a camp and got your kids registered yet? We speak with Ellen Percival from Calgary's Child Magazine for some great suggestions to keep your kids busy come the summer months. Every month we have the opportunity to chat with Calgary Police Chief Mark Neufeld and look at the issues facing the city. And Chief Neufeld joins us once again on a Wednesday morning. Good morning to you. Welcome back to the program, Chief.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Good morning, Sue.
Well, this is interesting because the news cycle sometimes crosses over. Normally, we talk about exactly what the police are working on today, what's facing Calgarians. But this is interesting because rezoning has been a hot topic in the city of Calgary, and we've heard a lot of concerns on our text line and in conversations about the potential of high-density housing leading to an increase in criminal activity. So I know that we have not moved ahead, and we're still doing the hearings when it comes to rezoning, but we certainly have some high-density communities in our city right now, Chief. So how would you respond to these concerns about density versus an uptick in crime?
Well, I think it's interesting, Andy, I think, you know, typically speaking, where we have more population, we have more people, we'll end up with more calls for service. I don't think you'll end up with necessarily more crime just because you've got more people up to a certain point. But we will tend to get more calls. There's more opportunities for, you know, cars to be stolen or people to hear, you know, disturbances or this type of thing and to call the police. So where we do have more density, we will have more calls and more demand for the police for sure.
That makes perfect sense when you put it that way, Chief. Let's talk about the change in season, because change in season usually means a change in crime trends. We talk about car thefts during the winter, for example, because people, you know, start their cars to warm them up. But what kind of crime trends do we see as the weather starts to warm up? What do we need to be aware of?
Yeah, it's very seasonal in the city. Of course, we have four distinct seasons here in Calgary and Alberta. So what we do see is when the spring hits like this is people start getting outside, you know, patio furniture and bicycles and lawn maintenance equipment and that type of thing starts to come out again. So largely a lot of what we see is crimes of opportunity, and it's because the opportunity is there again. So I think it's really good for people to remember that, you know, like when you start to put your spring and summer equipment and yard furnishings and stuff like that out, just be mindful of what you're leaving out and what you're leaving in your car. I think when people get to golfing again, oftentimes they may leave things in the vehicle that are valuable and sort of set themselves up for crime. So I think sometimes we forget over the winter after we have had these things put away for a while that we do need to be careful. You know, the kids will leave their bikes out and this type of thing, and suddenly somebody gets victimized.
Spending some time this morning with Calgary Police Chief Mark Neufeld, then I want to bring it back to the bikes, because it seems like, at least in my neighborhood, the community Facebook pages, it seems like when we get the warmer temperatures every few days, there's a new bike that has been stolen. So beyond the vigilance of a lock, and we do know that not all locks are the same, and then in some cases that might not be enough, what are some tips you can offer up, Chief?
I think one of the biggest things, Andy, where it comes to bikes is the Bike Index app. So many times bikes get stolen, and we do recover a ton of bikes. But the difficulty is trying to match the bikes to the owners. And a lot of times if people have had the bike for a while, they maybe don't have the bill of sale or no longer have the serial number. And so it's hard to be able to connect them. So bike retailers and people who service bikes and stuff like that will also sort of refer people towards that app, as will the police. And that's been a great thing for us. We've been able to return hundreds and hundreds of bikes. I think at last count, over $300,000 worth of bikes back to Calgarians as a result of Calgarians registering the serial number and ownership on the bike app.
Wow.
So I would really recommend that.
What was that called again, Chief? What's that app called? Is it just called Bike App?
Bike Index.
Bike Index. Okay, perfect. Thank you. We'll remind people about that ongoing, because that is a great one. Speaking of apps, though, we want to talk about social media and how Calgary Police Service is using another app, the Nextdoor app, to try and engage with different communities. Tell us about this one. Is it simply called, I'm just on the App Store right now, it's simply called Nextdoor?
It is, yeah. It's actually really cool. And as social media and communications continue to evolve, you know, so did the police service. Last year, the commission did a survey of Calgarians around the communication with the police and what they wanted to see and the different ways they would like to communicate with the police. And so one of the things that we heard was that people wanted to have more sort of detailed information about what was going on locally in their neighborhood. So they were happy hearing about, you know, the trends and what was happening in the city writ large, but very, very interested in what was going on around their homes and in their neighborhoods, and then what they could do about that. So the Nextdoor app is one that many neighborhoods and community associations are on. Your listeners are probably familiar with it, at least some. Anyway, we've moved over to that app as well, and it gives our community resource officers in the various districts the opportunity to be able to connect with residents locally to give them that local picture for those who want it and interact with the police locally in your neighborhood. We used it extensively in the recent Pembroke Meadows incident as well, where we could get information out that really mattered to people that lived and would be impacted right in the area, but maybe wouldn't be as important to people that lived elsewhere.
That's brilliant.
Those people wanted to know about the incident, but certainly didn't need to know about road closures or anything that was happening, you know, on the ground in the neighborhood.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Chief. We appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up again next month.
Thanks, Andy. You guys have a great day.
You too.
That is Calgary Police Chief Mark Neufeld.
Look at the determination. Look at the action, the drive, the explosive form of Donovan Bailey racing to the finish line for Olympic glory and a world record.
Widely regarded as one of the greatest professional athletes of all time, we have the pleasure of chatting this morning with a man who's coming to Calgary April 30th, Olympic gold medal sprinter Donovan Bailey. Good morning, Donovan.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. How fitting that we talk about an event as wonderful as Classroom Champions with a Canadian champion. We're going to get to the event and your role in it, but can you take us back to that time? We all remember it. We just heard it. The 1996 Summer Olympics, when you're about to cross that finish line and win the 100 meters, you didn't have a great start, but you sure had a powerful finish. What's going through your mind at that moment?
Oh, wow. That's, that's right off the top, just like that.
Yep.
you know what? I think that in 1996, I was a reigning world champion going into Atlanta. So my expectations was that I was going to win. I didn't know what time I was going to run. So for me, it was just a culmination of hard work, precision, having a great support system with my coach and training partner and my nutritionist and so forth. Winning wasn't a surprise for me. I was just happy to share this phenomenal moment with sports fans around the world, especially Canadians.
Fantastic. Yes. I want to get into this because you wrote a book called Undisputed, A Champion's Life. Fantastic. Pick it up if you want some motivation or learn more about the man himself. But in it, you talk about the game of sport and learning an important lesson from somebody we all know, Muhammad Ali. Can you tell us what that lesson was and how it impacted you?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's not just me. You know, I speak about, you know, my admiration for probably one of the greatest humans that I was ever blessed to be on this planet. And I had the fortune of, you know, meeting him for a second. I look at someone like Muhammad and, you know, sitting and watching him on TV as a child with my father and see how he carried himself, see how he was always his authentic self, seeing that he put the work in, but he also put the work in for him to be amazing in the ring, but also outside of the ring. He was, you know, he was a humanitarian. He was a philanthropist, for someone like that, I clearly thought that he inspired me. And then to be on a global stage, I certainly was aspiring to be at least get a sliver of what he had taught me and what I'd learned from afar. Throughout my years as a teenager, and certainly my time as the world's fastest man.
Well, speaking of lessons, I mean, you in Undisputed talk about your dad as well. He taught you some very important lessons. What was the biggest that came from your father?
You know what, my dad. You know, again, my dad is very Jamaican. For all the people that kind of know our culture. My father was always very strict, and so he taught me hard work, smart work, structure. He taught me about be around people that are gonna motivate you and challenge you, because those people are gonna be your best friends. He taught me how to commit. He taught me probably most importantly, he taught me how to take and embrace responsibility. One of the things that I speak about in the book, and one of the things I speak about often, is the climate of track and field in the world wasn't a very comfortable place when I started and when I came on the scene, especially in Canada. So he taught me that I needed to embrace whatever the responsibilities were, go at it with my authentic self and hard work, accomplish all the things that I need to do, and own everything that I did.
Donovan, I want to ask you this because, if I wrote a memoir, it would be one page. Well, maybe double-sided, maybe one.
It'll be more than that.
You never know. But for somebody like yourself, you are a trained athlete, somewhat of a machine when it comes to your sport. That was your world. You want to reflect back on all you've done, and it is a lot. How difficult was that, and how do you choose exactly what to put in a memoir and what to leave out? How was that process, and what sort of challenges did you face?
Funny enough, that's a great question. I mean, I have probably three more books in me.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just saying to you that, I'm very fortunate to probably live the life of 30 men, from being born in Jamaica, moving to Oakville, and rising from there to the top of the planet. There's certainly more stories that I've forgotten more than the ones that I've remembered, so there's lots more. I mean, I always talk about it. It's probably one of the hardest things I've had to do, because it is that, there are so many things and so many stories. I just thought that maybe this book, because it's the first one that I'm, that I'm doing, that I need, that these stories need to be shared, and obviously we're seeing, how it sells and how people are liking it, and I thank all the fans and readers out there for buying it and continue to buy it. But I'm very certain that there's a few more books out there, because like you said, there's a lot more stories that I missed, and also I'm very fortunate to have, the same people around me, from my childhood. From track and field, I can always dig into them to help me remember impactful things that happened throughout my journey. So for sure, there's a few more, but I think that maybe the stories that are in this book now are the ones that I need to share at this moment for those people who maybe weren't alive or too young to kind of understand the significance of what was going on in sport that time. They can read about it, and then we can probably, give some more stories in the next book two, three, or four.
We are chatting this morning with Canadian Olympic gold medal sprinter, motivational speaker, author, and long-reigning world's fastest man, Donovan Bailey. Donovan, all of this that we've talked about so far helped turn you into a powerful motivational speaker, and that's why you are part of the Classroom Champions program called Champion Chats. It's coming up April 30th at Calgary's Hyatt Regency Hotel. The focus there is going to be about the champion mindset. How do you explain that concept, the champion mindset?
Well, it's the champion mindset. That is funny. I think that anybody, any human being, any person who has ambition has to have the characteristics of the champion mindset. I mean, being focused, and like I said, surround yourself with people that's going to challenge you. You have to, I always think of mentorship or coaches. So I look at people who have done more than I've done in anything, by the way. So someone can impart wisdom on me and help me move the bar. Being a constant student, there are lots of things. I mean, we can probably go through 20 of them. So I want you all to join us on April 30th. Certainly there's the characteristics that allowed me to be the fastest man in the history of the world are the same characteristics that you'll have a student who wants to graduate the top of his class, or her class. It's a CEO of a startup or the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It is a doctor. It's a lawyer. It's a plumber. It's anybody. So there certainly are many characteristics that we can certainly name. Just to name a few. It's the same thing that's going to allow you to be successful.
Fantastic. We are looking forward to it. Circled the date on the calendar, April 30th, for Classroom Champions Program. It's called Champion Chats.
Well, thank you. You know what? I'm looking forward to Calgary. It's always, Calgary was home for me for a short period of time when I was out there with the bobsled team. And Calgary's always been like a second home in Canada for me.
Donovan Bailey, Canadian Olympic gold medal sprinter, motivational speaker, author of the book Undisputed, A Champion's Life. That's his memoir. And you can find out all that he has on the go at DonovanBailey.com.
Are you looking to get a break from the kids this summer? I mean, to keep the kids active and occupied this summer? Well, it is time to register your littles for summer camp. Yes, joining us to chat about what's on tap for this spring and summer in and around Calgary is Ellen Percival, editor for Calgary's Child Magazine. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
You've made it very simple. I'm at calgaryschild.com, the website, right at the very top. It's like it's a beacon. Summer camp and program directory. Click here. And you click there, and there it is. I mean, you make it so easy for us. You really are a Calgary's Child Magazine, like the place for us to go to find out all the fun ideas for the kids. So kind of break down that this is your 29th annual camp guide coming up?
It is. We're on our 30th anniversary this July. Right?
Wow. Time flies. Yeah. Tell us about it. You know, how did you guys become, how you at Calgary's Child Magazine become the place to go for this info?
Well, you know what? There, back then, 30 years ago, there was not a central hub. Parents looking for help and support and resources didn't have a place to go. And service providers and those offering wonderful opportunities for families had really no place to let families know. So Calgary's Child was born, and it was born as a network publication so that we could talk to each other and that you could find all the resources in Calgary. And it grew from there. We have hundreds of contributors that share everything from potty training woes to, teenage angst. So we've got everything and all the fun so that families don't need to be bored for a single minute.
Well, let's focus on summer camps. And I did not know what, you and I go back more than a couple of years. And before I had kids, I thought, well, this looks like a great resource. I don't need it. And then I had kids. It became a staple in my house. And I didn't realize why. In the earlier spring, and I know it's almost like we're getting later now that we're on the 24th of April, I have to get the jump on these summer camps. So if you can underscore to those new parents who might have, kids of an age to hit the summer camps and those on the outside looking in, just how important it is to book these things earlier rather than later.
Yeah, it's time. Particularly if you've got a child that has very specific interests, or more specialized sports or activities, and they want to continue those through the summer and maybe improve their skills, this is the minute. You need to get on it. And when your kids say they don't want to go to summer camp, okay, no, that's not real.
Yeah.
The first week of July when all their friends are off at camp and they're sitting around going, there's nothing to do, trust me, you'll want to get them into camp now. We have hundreds of choices. I promise there's everything and everything. We are so spoiled in Calgary for our camp providers. They work so hard to bring you and your kids really awesome experiences. And there's musical theater, languages, if your child wants to learn a language or increase their skill there's just,
like, you're not even kidding. You're not even exaggerating. I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Yeah. Athletics, yeah. Music, art, science, theater, animal, anything outdoor, anything sport. Like, it's all there, no matter what your kid is into. And you're so right. My kids are like, I don't want to go to camp because they think, I'm going to spend the whole summer lying in my bed on my phone. Well, no, you're not. So enroll them in something and get them outdoors and moving, right?
And absolutely. And, the City of Calgary Recreation does also an amazing job of providing low cost and free opportunities.
Even better.
Not everyone can send their kids to camp,
sure.
So we've got options for you as well. There are subsidies available at many camps. Don't be afraid to ask.
I'm glad. That's going to be my next question, is the price range, and it does vary widely depending on what you're interested in. But also, I think that this is something that, you know, when you're looking ahead and looking at, what is it, maybe June 28th all the way through to that first week in September, sitting down with the family and getting a plan together, because you want to make sure that it doesn't interfere with perhaps a camping trip or a vacation or the things that your other kids have on the go. It's a real a planning scenario, isn't it?
It really is. Like, I always say the first thing you do is look at your budget, okay? Mm-hmm. Then look at your dates and see what dates ideally you need to fill. Then bring your children in and offer them some options that kind of fit in that criteria that you've set, because they can get very expensive and very specialized. And so you just want to make sure, or it'll be very disappointing if they choose a camp that just you are off to visit grandma and grandpa. And it's just not a choice for them. And always involve the kids. You make such a good point, Andy. Like, it's really, really important that they are excited about the experience as well.
You know, and to flip that narrative a bit too, Ellen, I mean, if your kid is interested in being a camp counselor or, you know, of any sort, this is the list where you would go and look at to see where maybe your kid might want to work. Like, my daughter's got a friend who's going to be a camp counselor at Heritage Park because she loves literally the olden days. So this is perfect for her. She's gotten a job at Heritage Park and is going to be working with young kids. And that's probably a great gig for a lot of, you know, teenagers, et cetera, out there.
So wonderful for them. It's particularly if they love kids, or like you said, they have a specific interest or something to share, perhaps, that their expertise on the subject. It's great for kids. It looks wonderful on a resume. Camps are hiring now. Mm-hmm. So this is, you're right, look at the camps, reach out to the specific, you know, look at the camps, look at the topics and go, I would love to be a leader here. And reach out to them, because they are looking, they are hiring, and it's a wonderful opportunity to get experience. And again, it looks great on that resume.
And tis the season for looking into not only these jobs, but also camps for your kids. Thank you so much for making it easier for us parents, Ellen. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Ellen Percival, editor of Calgary's Child Magazine. Of course, you can pick it up at all great locations throughout the city, but online as well, 24 hours a day at calgaryschild.com.